And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
We're the Pop Patrol. Head to the dirt.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your ba-boom.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in. Center stage on the mic.
And we putting it on wax. It's the new style.
We're Jalen Jacoby. What do?
We get a people what they want.
We have a very special guest in studio today.
Yes.
Very special guest.
It's
we've
a
had a lot of big
affair.
Guests. This is the biggest guest we've ever had. The biggest get we ever had. Jalen, tell us who is joining us.
We have an A-plus list guest here today. It is my intelligent, talented, lovely daughter, Mariah Rose.
Hey.
is joining the podcast. And for those that's been with us for 8 years, I just want to give you a little backstory.
Uh-oh.
When Mariah was young, she used to do this thing on YouTube called Mariah Mondays.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where she used to post a lot of videos about current events and movies and entertainment and fashion.
Oh, gosh.
You remember those?
I might have a brief memory of that.
Give me memory of one of those Mariah Mondays. How did those come about?
I was in middle school. YouTube was just becoming cool. That's just what everybody was doing. I was like, Mariah Monday. And I was just talking to the camera.
Middle school, Jacoby.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, alliteration is everything. If my name was Steve, we wouldn't be on the air right now. Because Jalen and Steven hitting it. That's why Mariah Mondays always work. You get that alliteration. And second of all, seriously, people always say to me, they're like, what do I do to get in? How do I get a start in the industry? And that's how you do it. The way the technology works now, there's no barrier of entry. Just do it. Get your phone, film yourself, and then just grow from there. And look at you. You were Mariah Mondays 8 years ago. And now, what did you just get accepted to? Say it.
I'm doing UGA Sports Media.
Woo!
Yeah!
UGA Sports Media. Tell the nation who are some of the people that they may know that have gone through that program.
I think they might have heard of Maria Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I work with her on NBA Countdown. How about that, Jacob?
Wow. Maria Taylor.
And did I gotta tell you one more thing. She's still, from doing that in middle school, she also does something else that lets people know that women love sports too. Can you let them know where they can find that and what you're doing?
Well, I'm writing a sports blog on MariahRose.co. That's my website. It's called She Watches Sports Too. So if you're a female sports fan, check it out.
Oh, that's good. Good idea, Mariah Rose. You might be more savvy at media than your dad. You really might be. You really might be. Now you just got to find yourself a corny white dude that can do media with you. And then you're good. And then you're good from there. How do you feel about the Georgia Bulldogs' recent, less than great performances on the football field?
You know, it's always good to watch the dogs win. Go dogs forever. We had our little stint with South Carolina. Other than that, smooth sailing. At least I'm not an Alabama fan.
Exactly. So I've been to Athens on game day. I went to a night game at Athens. It gets crazy around there, man. Like tell us, take us to a game day in Athens, Mariah.
You know what? There's nothing like it. There's nothing like a game day in Athens. It's my favorite day of the week. I absolutely love the energy. Everybody's super excited. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody's nice. Everybody's feeding you at their tailgates. It's incredible. I nothing like Athens on game day.
One thing that shocked me about Athens game day, especially all the female fans that were there, y'all like dress up.
Red and black.
Because I'm from the Northeast and it's cold out. People don't dress up to go to football games. Tell them about that aspect of a tailgate in Athens.
Yes, it's like the football red carpet over in Athens on Saturday.
Oh, that's what it's called, the football red carpet.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. So do you think they have a legitimate chance if they went out to get in the college playoff? You saw Alabama lose yesterday.
Look, I always have faith in my dogs forever, for life. I will say nothing negative. I have 100% faith in them.
So, Mariah, you're 19. You represent the cool kids. And Jacoby and I always talk about being old and washed up. So, what artists are you listening to right now?
Mm. Well, I guess not everybody's listening to Drake anymore, but I listen to Drake.
Good.
She referred to him being booed recently at a concert. What do you think about the people booing Drake? What do you have to say to them?
I mean, it's Drake. That's a generational talent. I'm like, if I'm at the crowd and I'm wanting to see Frank Ocean, I see Drake, I would consider that a win. So, I guess that's just me.
Well, one thing I want to make sure that we do while you're here is we always say we get to people what they want. Part of that is listening to voicemails. So if you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it on the show just like this.
What's up, Jalen? What's up, Jacoby? Shout out to Reg. Much love from Baltimore. I got a weird one. Maybe this falls under soft move or boss move. So I've been brushing my teeth in the shower for as long as I can remember. And I mentioned it to someone not too long ago, and they thought it was just the weirdest thing in the world, which I don't really understand why it would be. Is it weird to brush your teeth in the shower? Do other people do that? Am I alone on this? Thanks for answering.
Great question. Mariah Rose, you start off. Is it weird to brush your teeth in the shower?
I've got mixed feelings about the brushing your teeth in the shower. I see how it could be time efficient, but brushing your teeth with warm water, I'm not really here for. I think that's kind of weird.
Good point, I'm thinking the warm water.
It's kind
of weird.
I never
thought about the temperature of the water, but also to me is I don't want toothpaste on my feet. You know what I mean? So like you spit it, you got to make sure it goes right
good
down
point.
The drain. Like I don't want toothpaste in between my toes. You know, like that doesn't sound right to me. Jalen.
So as somebody that tries to take at least 2 steam showers a day, I have to bring you guys behind the curtain on something. When Get Up was 3 hours, I found myself rushing a lot in the morning because I needed to be there at 6 a.m. And it normally could take me up to an hour to get to work. So that 3 to 4 a.m. period of time, I was doing a lot of rushing. And a couple of times, I tried to brush my teeth in the shower, and I realized exactly what you just said, Jacoby. I have this toothpaste in my mouth where I'm going to spit it. Number 2, when I spit it, the fluoride doesn't evaporate fast enough.
No.
It's still on the tile. It's still in the shower. So I got away from doing that real fast.
So if I'm doing a shower in the afternoon before I go out, I'll do a shower beer. I'm not afraid to get a little Bud Light. You know, just do a little shower beer if I'm getting ready to go out. I would definitely do that. Obviously, Mariah, you are not of age, so you would never consider doing anything like that. But I know that you will wait until you're 21 years of age before you have
100%.
Your very first adult beverage.
Of
I understand
course.
How that goes. Of course. Of course that's how it's going to go. Jalen, say goodbye to our very special guest.
Mariah, we thank you very much for joining us. You have an open invite.
Anytime.
To be a part of the program, to let us know what the cool kids are saying and doing in entertainment and fashion and politics and, of course, in sports. Yep. I love you and thank you for joining us.
Anytime.
Let's get a people. Okay. Just okay is not okay. Whether you're talking about your wireless network or college football. So on Saturday morning when you're looking for a game to watch, we know you're all in on your team. But after that, don't settle for just an okay matchup. Do what I do. Find the best game that's going on with the best teams and the best players. Like choosing a wireless network when you go to America's best network, AT&T. Just like the best of the best in college football, you can never, ever settle for okay. Whether you're getting your beverages together, we want the best ones. Whether you're getting your meats for the grill, you want the absolute best ones. You always want the best because just okay is not okay, especially when it comes to your wireless network. So get AT&T, America's best network. Stay on top of your game all season long. Best network based on GWS One Score, September 2019. The people thought they would get a good game last night in Dallas. That's exactly what they got. Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, and the Vikings jumped out to an early lead. The Cowboys came back and made it a game. And at the end, it was a Dak interception. There was some curious play calling in this game. There was some curious things that the Cowboys did. This is the Hail Mary that would have won it for him, but it was intercepted. Jalen Rose, what did you see from the Vikings that you liked? You've been talking about them all year.
Absolutely, David Jacoby. And of course, the 49ers are undefeated. The Saints ended up losing yesterday. So did the Cowboys. A lot of great teams in the NFC that's still wide open. However, my sleeper is the Minnesota Vikings. Went to Dallas, get a big road win without their wide receiver Thielen on the field. It was all about their ability to stop the run. They stuffed Ezekiel Elliott the entire game. The play-action pass wasn't as effective, even though Dak had a great game. Amari Cooper was out there twinkle toes on the sideline a couple of times. But for me, this was all about the physicality of the Minnesota Vikings getting a win on the road.
It really was. You mentioned Dak Prescott's game. This is one of the best games I've ever seen him play as a Cowboy. But the importance of Ezekiel Elliott and that effectiveness. Like you said, the play-action pass won't work when they're not scared of the run. And they stopped and they held him to 47 yards on 20 carries. It was a really, really impressive win for the Vikings. And Jalen, sometimes, you know, I don't like to give you props. You know, I don't like to give you compliments. But you've been on this since like week three that the Vikings are one of the best teams in the NFC. Do you think they can make a challenge and go deep in the playoffs?
You saw Randolph hitting his head on the goalpost a couple of times at tight end. Diggs is one of the best receivers in the game. And Dalvin Cook has more yards, you ready for this, than Christian McCaffrey on the season. He's catching out of the backfield, and he's a dual threat. So I've always liked a Mike Zimmer-led team because they embody toughness.
Absolutely. And we move on to another one of the best teams in the NFC, and that is the Green Bay Packers. They hosted the Cam Newton-less Panthers, and Kyle Allen looked pretty good. You saw Aaron Jones get in the end zone early a couple times, but Kyle Allen, once the snow started falling, he started darting that ball around, and he looked pretty good for the Panthers. Jalen Rose, me and you argue about this. You always say there is no such thing as moral victories. But if you're the Panthers, when you are literally one inch away from winning the game, or at least getting it into a chance to get a two-point conversion, don't you have to feel pretty good about it if you're the Panthers?
Absolutely, especially in those conditions in Green Bay. And that's why I like teams in the Midwest and on the East Coast to play outside, because it creates a distinct home field advantage. And that's what worked in Green Bay's favor. Aaron Jones was terrific again as a dual threat running back, having three touchdowns. Their defense continued to be stout when it needed to be. Christian McCaffrey's going to get his rush yards against anybody. I figured that out. So for Aaron Rodgers, here's a guy that hasn't been spectacular this year. Trust me, I have him on my fantasy football team. He only had 9 points yesterday. He's only gone over 20 points twice this year. It's just two of those games were so very spectacular. You get Devontae Adams back. He went up over 100 yards. So this is a great win for the Packers on their home field.
And you say that Aaron Rodgers hasn't been spectacular this year, and you're absolutely right. But one of the reasons is just how good Aaron Jones is for this team to create a balanced attack. I can't think of a running back better than Aaron Jones that Aaron Rodgers has played with for like 5 years. And it's nice to have that as the Packers, and they have a much improved defense. And as you mentioned, they have that home field advantage when the snow's falling at Lambeau. They're just tough to beat. Shout out to Kyle Allen, though. Like, Kyle Allen was not on our radar 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, but he played really, really well in that game, made some really tough throws. And we're talking about the best teams in the NFC. We bring up the Vikings and we bring up the Packers, and another team that we would have put in that conversation, the Saints. They lost, and they didn't just get beat. They lost bad to the Falcons. Jalen Rose, they lost to the Falcons, and not only that is they had, on offense, 3 field goals. Look at Drew Brees just running around, getting tackled, getting pulled down. What did the Falcons do to stop the offense of the Saints?
This is flat out a character win for the Atlanta Falcons. Each week I've come on this program and talk about how lackluster they've been to the point where I felt like it was going to cost Dan Quinn his job. And for those that don't pay intimately attention to the NFL, these two teams are rivals. And so for them to step up and play the way they did, they needed that game. But the thing that really stands out to me as we talk about Ezekiel Elliott, we talk about Dalvin Cook, we talk about Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara's been quiet.
Yes.
I know he's dealt with some injuries, but usually he's a guy that's over 100 rushing, 75 yards receiving. They got to find a way to get him back kickstarted.
Yeah. So, Jalen, every Monday after Falcons loss, what do we bring up?
Dan Quinn's job security.
Yeah. Do you think that a win like this, piled with a couple more wins, could keep his job in the offseason?
Absolutely. And their owner, Arthur Blank, already came out and said that he wasn't going to panic. He's going to evaluate the season in its totality. But this is a great win for the Falcons.
And I don't think anyone saw this win coming with the Falcons over the Saints. And there was another game that was very similar upset, and that was the Chiefs. The Chiefs went into Tennessee to play the Titans, and the Chiefs, they got Pat Mahomes back. He's got one-footed throws for touchdowns.
Yeah.
He looked like himself. He played great. But Ryan Tannehill? That Ryan Tannehill, who's not good enough to be the starting quarterback for the Dolphins, was out here darting the ball around the field and brought the Titans the win in Tennessee. There was this play too. Maybe he jumped the snap, maybe not. Doesn't matter now. The game is over. Jalen, what happened in Tennessee to the Chiefs?
We get enamored with the offense, and rightfully so as fans, and we respect the defense when it's physical, but it's three phases to a football game. The special teams lost this for the Chiefs, if you ask me.
Yep.
And so it wasn't just that final play. Their field goal kicker botched another situation where he missed a field goal. But for the Kansas City Chiefs, it's their defense and its inability to stop the run. Derrick Henry was out there running like Earl Campbell for the throwback football fans.
Yep.
And while he doesn't catch a lot out of the backfield, he's shown me to be a guy that you can rely on in a lot of situations to get you yards when you needed them. And he got close to 200 yesterday.
Yeah. Almost 200 yards, two touchdowns. And Patrick Mahomes, 446 yards, three touchdowns. Like, what more do you need from Mahomes to get a win? Now, keeping my eye on this game, when I saw that the Chiefs were ahead, it felt like the Chiefs kind of got a little too comfortable with the lead. Do you think that's fair to say?
I do think that's fair to say. But again, when your special teams trots out on the field, they have to execute. In a couple of situations, they did not do so, and I believe that's the reason KC ended up losing.
So KC didn't just lose this one. They've kind of stumbled a little bit in the past 4 or 5 weeks. Do you think there's a chance that we have the AFC playoffs without Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs?
No way. As long as Tyreek Hill's healthy, and I know he fell in and re-injured his shoulder, I think with Mahomes playing the way he played, there will not be a playoffs in the AFC, and KC isn't involved.
Well, Russell Wilson will play tonight, but there's nothing that he can do that will put him in the lead of the MVP conversation because of what Lamar Jackson did in Cincinnati, just running all over the Bengals. That play right there alone was a highlight. He played so well, he didn't even have to play in the fourth quarter. What do you see from Lamar, and is he your MVP right now?
How much do I like the Ravens and John Harbaugh?
You
How much
love
do
the Ravens.
I like the Ravens.
You
that
love the Ravens. See, I jumped on the Lamar Jackson Ravens bandwagon like 3 weeks ago. You've been there from the beginning of the season.
Because it's about John Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome. Like, they always have tough physical teams. You see Marcus Peters score another defensive touchdown. Their defense continues to make plays. And on offense, Lamar's just dazzling.
He's really just dazzling.
They find ways to put him in situations to be successful. I keep telling you, multiple tight ends, multiple backs. I know you saw that one formation that had three Heisman Trophy
The three Heisman formation. Once I saw that, if I was on defense, I would just call timeout. Go to the ref. Be like, we got to write something to the league or something, because this should not be fair. They're running the triple option. It's like Nebraska in 1986. I loved it so much. And the thing about Lamar Jackson, he's so dazzling on the field. Like, I would rather watch Lamar Jackson than Patrick Mahomes play football. And one thing I love about Lamar, his personality. Let's check in on the quirky Lamar Jackson after the game.
How often you practice that move?
What moves? Oh. Nah, I never practiced it. Actually, I did it, Saturday at the walkthrough.
So you did it in slow motion?
But when I did it in the walkthrough, I would have got hit. So I would have. It was Earl coming down.
I don't know if I love the Versace sweater or the sunglasses or the spin move more. I'm just, it's Lamar Jackson season this season. Doesn't it just feel like that?
Can I just let people know that the Ravens are for the culture? And one of the terms, because he sometimes probably doesn't fit the part. People forget that Lamar Jackson was the Heisman Trophy winner in college. And I like the fact that he said, I tried that spin move in practice and walkthrough, but Earl Thomas was coming down. That was shots to your Bengals, who we feel like don't get disrespected enough. Can David Jacoby take a second to disrespect the Bengals again?
It is time. When we talk about the worst football teams in the NFL, we talk about the Dolphins who are in win streak. We talk about that team in Washington who no one wants to discuss. We talk about tanking with all these other teams. The Bengals are so bad. So bad, and no one's noticed. They have not only have they not won a football game, they haven't come close to winning a football game. They're not even trying to win football games. They're so bad that AJ Green is like, you know what? I think I'm hurt. And listen, you know me. There's negativity in my heart. I believe that while we celebrate Lamar Jackson, we need to also disrespect the Bengals, because the people of Cincinnati deserve better than this. This fan base deserves better than this. Like, in the jungle, it's not even the jungle anymore. It's been raised like the Amazon. It's over. You know what? I'm getting upset about this. Jalen Rose, Dion Waiters, and the Miami Heat were on a flight from Phoenix to Los Angeles. On that flight, Dion Waiters had a panic attack, and he has now been suspended 10 games by the Miami Heat because there are reports that the panic attack was due to some edibles that were given to him from a teammate, Jalen Rose. I have so many questions, but my first question is this. How many edibles did he take?
A couple of things, David Jacoby. Adam Silver's on the phone. Hey, Dion, that's a failed test. That's all I know. That's a failed test. Okay, Jacoby, I've been watching a lot of the news. And for the young people, please know what they're saying about the vaping is real. What you said about, your question about the edibles is also real. You can't determine the amount of THC that's in each edible. That's a failed test. Tanner, what is this for Dion Waiters? Come on. I can't say this with a straight face.
Everybody knows somebody that ended up in the hospital because of edibles, and now everyone knows Dion Waiters. And while we do wish him the best, and mental health is very important, and we do want him to get back on the court, this isn't just a one isolated incident thing between him and the Miami Heat. If you haven't noticed, he has played 0 minutes for the Heat this year. 0 minutes for the Heat. They've got Kendrick Nunn playing over him, and they've got Tyler Hero playing over him. So what part of this incident do you think is a little bit of him lashing out against the franchise a little bit?
And also, they added Jimmy Butler this offseason to be their best player on the perimeter. Remember, Dion Waiters was getting buckets and playing quality minutes even before Dwayne Wade got back. So he saw his role diminish last year, and it had led into this offseason, and then adding the players you just described has diminished his happiness with that situation. But you still have to be professional, Jacoby. Missing 10 games is going to cost him almost $1 million.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. You know what happens when I think about somebody losing $1 million? It makes me call Tanner and ask him, what does that mean for Dion? What does that mean?
Well, there's a couple things. There's also a report that it was one of his teammates that gave him, quote, a gummy, and that he refuses to name who that teammate is. A couple things about that. Number one, shout to Dion. You know, keep everyone's name out your mouth. I'd like that move. Number two, it was definitely more than one gummy. It was definitely more than one gummy that gave him a panic attack on this flight. Jalen, this is one warning to everybody out there, especially those that live in states where this stuff, you can just walk into a dispensary and get it. Be very, very careful when consuming edibles. We all know someone who this has happened to. And one thing I hate about edibles, Jalen Rose, I've got three little kids. What do they make? Gummy bears, gummy worms, brownies, chocolate bars, all things that my kids love to eat. Please be careful out there with the edibles and keep them away from children.
Well said. That's exactly where I was going. And the Rice Krispies as well.
Yep, all that. Well, we move on to some actual basketball. The Lakers hosted the Raptors in Los Angeles. The Raptors were without Lowry and Ibaka, but they had that, man. Ooh. And they had Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet just getting down in transition. The Lakers went cold in the fourth quarter. Jalen, how impressed are you by this win from the Raptors?
Jacoby, Reggie just reminded me of something. Mm-hmm. You did a list of your teams in the Eastern Conference to make the playoffs.
Okay.
The Raptors weren't included.
Hold on. So now I'm being sabotaged not just by you, but also by Reggie. Oh, you know what I mean? I made a simple mistake. I just forgot about the Raptors, okay? But now, you're always on the phone with me. We need to pull up this part where I said this game was going to go this way, and it did. All right, we can start pulling up clips of you getting games wrong, too. I don't know we're going to start doing that. And I got Reggie working against me, too. I see y'all. I see what's happening around here. It's the people that are closest to you are the ones who are against you the most. That's what's really happening around here. All right, yo, we can start pulling up some old clips of Jalen Rose, talking about 99% sure Kawhi Leonard's going to stay in Toronto, talking about Michael Jordan's going to play a game this year for the Hornets. All right, we can start doing that too. I'm ready. It's all out war now.
Actually, I was going to compliment you because anybody that follows this unprofessional program understands that when we do lists,
I only forgot one team. Yeah, every time we shouldn't even call them lists anymore. We should call them incomplete lists.
Yeah, let's change. I like that. But let me say one thing about the Raptors. Really well coached. Playing without Serge Ibaka.
Mm-hmm.
Playing without Kyle Lowry. The most improved player, Pascal Siakam, will clearly be an all-star this year. Fred VanVleet playing quality minutes. This is a big-time road win against the Lakers, who had won 7 straight.
And you see that it's 32-8 in fast break points. And we always celebrate the Lakers for their defense. We always celebrate the Lakers for their size. But sometimes that size does come at a cost. Not the fastest team up and down the floor, especially when you look at someone like Pascal Siakam, who is so, so good in transition. Finishes tough buckets, going 100 miles an hour. I love Siakam's game. And I think you are right. I think he will be an all-star in the East. You know what? They're not only just playing without Serge Ibaka and Kyle Lowry. They're playing without Kawhi Leonard. Like, let's not forget that part. They're playing without Kawhi Leonard, who's obviously
on the Clippers.
And Danny
Green, who was on the other team.
That's a great point. Jalen Rose, the stretch mark five, had himself a weekend. Nikola Jokic, the stretch mark five. He did this to beat the Sixers on Friday night at home. And then last night on Sunday, what'd he do? He doubled down. Look at his little turnaround. A 1 foot turnaround from 20 feet. What'd you see from the stretch mark five over the weekend?
I got to give people a little snapshot behind the curtain. Over the last couple of weeks, Jacoby was a little disappointed. He trademarked stretch mark four and five. His favorite body type plays in Denver. Got off to a slow start. Jacoby was upset. He wasn't himself.
I was.
And then all of a sudden, I looked down at my phone. Jokic hitting turnaround jumpers to win games back-to-back. He's enthusiastic again. You're a happy camper now.
I'm back. When Jokic plays well, I play well. That's the way it works. Me and Jokic are tied together because we have the same body type as a fellow stretch mark basketball player. The Jalen and Jacoby podcast is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven. Jalen Rose, do you remember, wasn't that long ago, we were talking about the Rams, Sean McVay being a genius, and Jared Goff and Todd Gurley, and this offense, and they bolstered the defense over the offseason. Has it played out the way we expected it to? They faced off against the Steelers, and the Steelers' defense looked great. The Rams ended up losing this game 12-17. The Rams are now 5-4 and don't feel like one of the best teams in the NFC, let alone the NFL. What has changed for them from last year to this year?
Well, a couple of things that have changed. One, Todd Gurley, though he had 70-plus yards yesterday, is not the three-down bell cow that's one of the top-performing backs in the league. Two, Cooper Kupp, who had a huge game the prior week going over 200 yards, caught for as many yards as you and I combined.
Wow.
Zero. If I'm the Rooney family, this morning I bring Mike Tomlin into the office and give him an extension. He's doing an amazing job with this team. Doesn't have Big Ben. Added Minka Fitzpatrick, third straight game with an interception. Remember they acquired him from Miami? And people were like, Ben Roethlisberger got hurt. Why are y'all bringing him in?
I was like that. I was like, what are they doing? Like, why are you bringing in Minka Fitzpatrick? And he's played great the last couple weeks. Sometimes you got to admit when you're wrong. So, Jalen, this thing about Jared Goff is I'm not so sure anymore. I mean, if you look there, Pittsburgh did play great defense, but there's 16 times that you get the ball on third or fourth down to try to convert a first down, and it only happens once. What happened to the genius of Sean McVay? What happened to Jared Goff being one of the best quarterbacks in the league? What happened?
Todd Gurley, I'm going to have to put some of that on him because, again, it was like a lot of play action pass to me that allowed Goff to play at extreme. And he's had so many games this year, 40 pass attempts, 45 pass attempts, 50 pass attempts. They don't have the balance. And I agree with you. You can look at the offense, but however, we got to look at the defense too. Aaron Donald was playing at home. And y'all still allowing the Steelers to get yards and make plays? Yep. They added Jalen Ramsey. They allowing this Steelers offense to make plays? I was disappointed in both sides of the ball for the Rams in that game.
Yeah, when they remixed their secondary, I had higher expectations for them, and they haven't seen that new secondary featuring Jalen Ramsey, who many consider, you know, if not the best, the top three cornerback in the NFL. This Rams team still has time to turn it around, but if you're looking at me and say, which one of these two teams have turned their season around? It is the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have won four straight games without Big Ben. Now, Jalen, we might talk too much about the Browns in the national media. Just across the board, it feels like the Browns get a little too much attention, but they always keep it dramatic. And they did exactly that yesterday against the Bills. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I don't know exactly how many chances from the 1 yard line, couldn't get it in. And then Mayfield, that was complete to not Landry, not Odell Beckham, but his guy Higgins. And at the end of the game, here it is. I thought maybe it went in. Refs did not agree, and the Browns end up getting the win at home. What do you think about this big win for the Browns?
I mentioned it to you recently. Their schedule starts to soften. So therefore, the narrative around the Browns is going to slowly start to change because I think they have an opportunity to get a couple of wins. But for Buffalo and their special teams, you got to make that field goal. See, we talked so much about the offense and the defense. Special teams is the third element. That's a makeable field goal. You have to find a way to tie the game in that situation.
And you really do. And, you know, we have people at ESPN that crunch the numbers, and they have the remaining strength of schedule for the Browns as 32nd. And just a quick reminder, there are 32 teams in the league, which means, according to our number crunchers, that the Browns have the easiest strength of schedule moving forward. So it sounds like we will not stop talking about this Cleveland Browns team anytime soon. Jalen, can they make the playoffs in the AFC?
You just said their strength of schedule is the easiest in the NFL. Next weekend is going to be the weekend we see Odell go for 150, get two touchdowns, integrate a Hunt for a second straight week to go with Nick Chubb. This team is going to continue to improve, and I believe they still have what it takes to make the playoffs.
I hope they do. Well, one team that will definitely not be making the playoffs are either of the teams in this next contest, but the Jets won a game. The Jets won a game. The Jets won a national football game, albeit against the Giants. But a win is a win. Darnold got some touchdowns. There was this one play from Jamal Adams that you just absolutely have to see. Look at this. Give me that football. Just grabs it out of Daniel Jones' hands and runs it in for a touchdown. Jalen, is there anything to look up for if you're a Jets fan?
Jamal Adams. Mm-hmm. You know how I feel about DBs and safeties. You see how he ran through Saquon Barkley, a really stout blocking back when he needs to be, ran through him and took the ball from Danny Pennies. Remember he had a nickname, Dimes? What happened?
Hold up.
Turnover machine, I tried to tell you.
Listen, four touchdowns, 308 yards through the air. I still believe in Danny Nichols. I still believe in Danny Nichols. It's not his fault.
Were to Golden Tate, but I agree with you. It wasn't necessarily all on him. It's a great Jets win, and you got to give Sam Darnold a lot of credit because he seemed poised from the beginning, driving them straight down the football field.
Jalen, Saquon Barkley did not only not break 100 yards, like he barely advanced the ball past the line of scrimmage for the entire day. What is happening with Saquon Barkley?
How about this for fantasy owners? Yesterday, I had Aaron Rodgers, 9 points. Saquon Barkley, 10 points. Dak Prescott, people keep questioning whether he should possibly get his money. He's outplayed Aaron Rodgers basically the entire season and went for 3 touchdowns last night and cost me fantasy by 2 points yesterday.
So, Jalen, I'm going to ask you the hardest question I've asked you in a long time. There's 3 entities that you pay attention to on Sunday. The Lions, the National Football League as a whole, and your fantasy team. Which one do you care about the most?
My fantasy team.
I knew you were gonna, at least you're being honest. One person I know you care about is a gentleman by the name of Gordon Hayward. You have labeled him as one of your guys years and years and years ago when he was with the Jazz, and he really seemed like he was working his way back to that old form when he was in Utah, and then this happened. Freak play. He's just fighting through a pick. He kind of gets blindsided by LaMarcus Aldridge. You can't really see what happens, but he now has a broken hand. Jalen, what did you feel when you heard the news about Hayward's left hand?
This is major for the Boston Celtics. I don't think it's going to be catastrophic because they play in the Eastern Conference, but he was playing like an all-star. Mm-hmm. And his playmaking and his shooting really balanced off the attack and allows guys like Kemba Walker to be on and off the ball. Same with Marcus Smart. Allowed Tatum to continue to have opportunities for slashing along with Jaylen Brown. They're one less man in their backcourt now. I think that's going to be something that really affects their record going forward in a negative way.
Jalen, I spend a lot of time with you, and I oftentimes look down at your hand, and there's a big old scar right on top of it because you had surgery. Given the timetable of your injury and your sort of familiarity with this type of injury, do you think we can get him back for the playoffs?
This could be 15 or 20 games.
Okay.
It depends on if he actually has to get surgery or not. That's the difference. If he has to get surgery, it's the first timetable. If he doesn't have to get surgery, I'll say it'd be about 10 games.
Well, we're all rooting for you, Gordon Hayward. And one thing I love about the Celtics is the camaraderie, especially between a gentleman by the name of Taco Fall, who we all know about, and Enes Kanter. They did something that I needed to talk to Jalen Rose about. This is Kanter giving Fall a haircut. Jalen, have you ever gotten your hair cut by a teammate?
I love that brotherhood. And if he's getting the baldy, is that truly considered a haircut?
That's a great point. It's a great point. But I would trust a friend with a baldy, though. I wouldn't trust a friend to give me a fade, but I would trust a friend to give me a baldy. But look at that footage. Enes Kanter doesn't look too comfortable with the clippers in his hand. Like, he doesn't look too comfortable. I know you spent more time of your life in a barber chair than you have in a chair in the studio. Did he look like confident cutting Taco Fall's hair?
He did not look confident. And by the way, Enes Kanter has really good hair. I bet he wouldn't allow somebody on his team to cut his. So this is hypocritical, Enes.
Yeah, and also my question for you still stands. Have you ever let someone who is not a barber cut your hair?
Absolutely not. The last 10 years, only 3 people have cut my hair. Shiz, 215 Exclusive, my guy Hawk in the ATL, and my guy Andy Authentic in Connecticut. Or my guy B. Hess in Detroit. 4 people have gotten a chance to cut this wig.
Very quickly, Jalen Rose, over the course of your entire life, how much money do you think you have spent on haircuts if you add it all together?
$1 million.
At least $1 million. That was probably just like since 2010 until now. All cash after taxes, too. Jalen, it's worth it. It looks great every single time you're on the show. So much going on in the world of sports. We have NBA basketball. We have college basketball. We have college football. We have NFL football. So much to talk about. So we have a segment called Keep It Moving. Jalen, if you want to discuss the topic, you say hit the brakes. If not, me and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
Let's get it.
LSU, Alabama.
Hit the
in
brakes.
A classic in Tuscaloosa. This game was all about our colleagues that are LSU alumni and that man that you see on the screen, Joe Burrow. Jalen Rose, this was one of the most hyped college football games that I've seen in years, and it lived up to it. What did you think of LSU's big win over Crimson Tide?
You know I call it like I see it, and mm-hmm. I did it with Christian McCaffrey, and I must do it with Joe Burrow. Can we stop looking sideways and acting surprised that there's a white dual-threat quarterback that can actually run with the football? He's legitimate. He's legitimate. He's going to be a top-flight draft pick. But for Tua to be hobbled the way he was and respond the way he did in the second half, LSU had a couple of uncontested touchdowns that they allowed. The one where the DB was looking over at the coach. The other one late when they had the lead. So I still view these teams as both having the opportunity to be in the college football playoff. And don't be surprised if they actually play one another later in the season again.
I mean, Tua clearly wasn't 100% himself, but he just reminded everybody just what he can do when he is on the football field. I love Tua as a pro prospect, and Joe Burrow climbing that list as well. Jalen, the Lions played yesterday. Keep moving and hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
I don't know if you saw. I know there's a lot of good games on. There's a lot of upsets. Did you happen to notice what happened with the Detroit Lions when they played their division rival, the Chicago Bears?
Meow.
They made Mitchell Trubisky look like a good quarterback. Only the Lions can do that. What happened to this secondary that you celebrate? What happened? Why is Mitchell Trubisky out there looking like elite quarterback in the NFL against this defense?
Yeah. See, this program is so unprofessional, got me meowing. You know, it's like, you guys, y'all don't like me? Like,
yeah.
So a couple of things. Uh-oh. I told you at what point in the season that this was going to start to spiral out of control as a lifelong Lions fan. I'm going to regurgitate the steps. The world gave us a moral victory against the Chiefs. The refs cost us against the Vikings. Kerryon Johnson got injured. We traded our slot safety. Matthew Stafford did not play yesterday.
Nope.
This is where I look down at the standings. And you ready for this, Jacoby? The Lions have 3 wins. The Dolphins have 2.
I know. Yeah. I know. You know what? That tie against the Cardinals is going to be one of the best Lions performances. That week one tie against the Cardinals, you're going to look back and be like, well, we did tie the Cardinals early in the year. Had a little momentum.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Dolphins. The Dolphins don't just have 2 wins. They're on a win streak. Keep moving and hit the brakes.
Congratulations to the Dolphins. You're getting further away from the top pick. The Colts didn't have Jacoby, therefore we must keep it moving.
Got to keep it moving. There's no Jacoby.
We keep it moving.
Not worth it.
We keep it moving.
Right. Well, the Knicks are even worse than I thought they would be. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
We must hit the brakes.
Well, Knicks president Steve Mills had this to say about the first 10 games into the season for the New York Knickerbockers.
Just out of curiosity, what spurred you guys to address us in this fashion? Because it's rare for it to happen.
We're not happy with where we are. This is not where we expected to be at this point in, 10 games in, and we just felt like we had an obligation to do that.
They didn't seem happy. And I love the question from the reporter. He was like, this is a little weird. What are you guys doing here?
I don't think it's weird when you're being straight up, especially in a market like New York City, because here's what happens. When you don't speak out, therefore people get a chance to pile on you. And they have struggled as a 2-8 season. But when you come in front of the cameras and you come in front of the microphones and you own the fact that we have not played well, I respect and appreciate that. Now, of those 8 losses, for those that really follow the league, a few of them were heartbreaking. Like, really heartbreaking losses. But then when you get waxed by the Cavs, of course you have to own up to it. It's going to be interesting to see what happens these next 10 games. That's where this season is going to be built for the Knicks. This level of character that they're going to need to show to try to turn around their season.
So one thing I will say positive about the Knicks, because you know I'm a die-easy Knicks fan, what Mills and Perry did when they constructed this team is a lot of one-year deals. A lot of one-year deals. So you have a season like this, and it doesn't work out, all that money comes off the books, and I know it's not the best free agent class, but at least they can remix the roster and have another go at it next year, because this year does not feel like a playoff run is coming in MSG. Moving on, Giannis did something weird after missing a free throw. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
You said Giannis?
I did.
Hit the brakes.
Okay, let's just take a look at Giannis, his frustrations. He's real focused on that free throw, you could tell. Missed it. Okay, let's try it again. Usually you can make a little correction, get the second one better. Oh, that was an air ball. So then he bites his jersey, rips it a little bit, and kicks a hole in the Thunder sign. Look at that, Jay. Look at that. What do you think about Giannis's reaction to his struggles from the free throw line?
Well, he's going to get a pink slip for sure from the league. He's going to pay for that. That OKC sign that that'll cost him $10,000. As it relates to the Hulk Hogan version of the jersey, I just appreciate his intensity. He continues to score 30 points basically on a nightly basis, getting me 15 plus boards basically on average, 4 or 5 dimes, made a couple of threes and improved in that area. But here's one thing that I'm really concerned. Too many air balls from the free throw line.
Yeah. That's a
lot. It's one thing to miss them, but we've shown three air balls that he shot so very early in the season. That clearly has to be something that needs to be improved.
It's one thing to shoot an air ball from the free throw line, something I've done many times in my life. It's another thing to do it on the second one. Like, usually you miss the first one bad, then you make some adjustments, you know, it's made a little harder, a little softer, the level of right. But air balling the second one just says that there's something going on upstairs. We have an update on my favorite player in Australia, LaMelo Ball. Keep moving ahead of the brakes. He had 24.6 rebounds and 8 assists in what was his most complete performance. Look at that. Behind the back dives. LaMelo Ball. LaMelo, just don't pass on LaMelo Ball if you got a high draft pick. You know what? I don't want the number one pick this year. I want like number three. You know, number three, the decision kind of gets made for you. If I'm a GM, I don't know if I want the number one pick this year. What do you think about LaMelo Ball in Australia?
I like what you did there. You don't want to be the guy that takes Fultz over Tatum. You want everybody else to allow the draft to play itself out at the top and then grab your guy LaMelo, who's grown to be 6'7", Jacoby. Looks to be getting a lot stronger, a lot more patient. It takes patience to drive to the lane and do a behind-the-back bounce pass. That's terrific court awareness.
It really is. And someone else who will be in consideration at the top of next year's draft is in an interesting situation, and that is James Wiseman. Jalen Rose, keep moving or hit the brakes on Wiseman.
Hit the brakes.
Now, this is a little bit complicated. I'm going to try to break it down as simple as possible. But James Wiseman was an AAU player. Anthony Hardaway moved him out to Memphis to play on his AAU team, and then Anthony Hardaway became the Memphis head coach. He also gave the university money to start an athletic Hall of Fame, which officially, according to the rules, makes him a booster. So the NCAA says, James Wiseman, you cannot play. You are ineligible. So what does Wiseman do? Plays because of a temporary restraining order issued by a judge. This is a mess, Jalen. What is happening? What's going to happen to Wiseman moving forward?
Only the NCAA finds ways to discipline the potential number one pick in the NBA and the NFL on the same day.
Yeah. Yeah, they can do that. They're like, one bad headline is for us is not enough. Let's get two bad headlines. Let's take two of our stars out of our product in one day.
You just showed LaMelo Ball playing basketball. Where was he?
He's in Australia, down under. Mate.
That's what's going to continue to happen to the top prospects. They're going to either go from high school to the league or go overseas, because they don't want to be under these archaic, stringent rules that the NCAA legislates. Where else in society can talented individuals not profit off of their name and likeness? That only happens with NCAA athletes.
Jalen,
And for those that feel like you're getting a scholarship, I'm paying for it by my athletic prowess. We just saw Tua, and we just saw Joe Burrow. Those guys should have got paid for that game. Those guys are professionals in college. Please continue, David. I'm done with this topic.
They have the option to go straight to the league. They have the option to go overseas. But really what they should consider, playing for Juwan Howard in Ann Arbor. That's another good option for him. That's another good option for these prospects.
Yes!
Under the tutelage of Juwan Howard, he will get you ready for the league. He will get you in the tournament. He will get you on national TV. And he will get you right in the league.
How about this, David Jacoby?
What's that?
I'm the founder of a school since 2011. You mean, and I'm an alum of the University of Michigan. I also have a scholarship endowment at the University of Michigan. Does that mean a JRLA student can't play basketball at Michigan, or it would be a violation?
You know what, Jalen? The rules are so complicated, I have no idea how to answer that. All I know is it shouldn't mean that.
Yep.
Jalen Rose, it's been a weird week in the NFL, and we have a big game tonight, a Monday night in the Bay. I could see either the Seahawks or the 49ers blowing the other team out. Those are my favorite types of games. Who you got tonight in the Bay?
Physicality will be on display. Remember, there was a time where these two squads were headed on the collision course to be rivals. Colin Kaepernick was under center for the 49ers going against Russell Wilson. Now we've come full circle, and it's legitimate. When an undefeated 49ers team likely to be playing without Kittle at tight end, terrific run game. Russell Wilson continues to dazzle all season. 49ers playing at home, I'm picking them to get it done anyway.
Just because I like to disagree with you, I will take the Seahawks, and we will check in tomorrow on who's right. Jalen, at Tyler, the Creator's Flog Knopf Festival in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium, there was rumors that Frank Ocean was going to perform. Just rumors. So I guess that's what the crowd wanted, and they ended up getting Drake. Drake cut his set short because he was booed. Jalen Rose, why would anyone, anyone boo Drake? Explain that to me.
The same people that's going to get right into the car and listen to all of this music. That's why
exactly. It doesn't make any sense to boo Drake. Drake is one of the best performers that we have in the game today. And everybody loves Drake. It makes absolutely no sense to me. Drake, you're welcome to come on the show anytime. I promise you will not get booed. We're done. What's that, KRS?
We're not done.
What it do, baby?
Yeah. All I care about is my nipples. Seriously.